Good morning. It's May the 12th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is A Mother's Faith. And my primary text comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. A mother's faith. I have a little joke here. Maybe it'll make you smile, or maybe it'll go over like a lead balloon. What did the digital clock say to its mom on Mother's Day? Thanks for always making time for me. Well, I hope you get that joke. Well, here we are again, celebrating another Mother's Day in our country. And Mother's Day recognizes mothers, motherhood, and maternal bonds in general, as well as their positive contributions to their families and, when you really think about it, society at large. For those of you who are not aware of this, Mother's Day was initially established by a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. And the first official Mother's Day was celebrated through a worship service at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, on May the 10th, in 1908. So in churches across the land, the big three Sunday services, from my perspective, and I'm sure others as well, are the following: Christmas Eve, Easter Sunday, and Mother's Day. Now, of course, a favorite passage in the Old Testament that celebrates and commemorates being a mother and wife is the one read from Proverbs chapter 31. Which speaks of the nobility and the honor earning a woman praise from her neighbors, but also from her family alike. Why? Because she is a woman who fears the Lord. And not only does she fear the Lord, but she is diligent and industrious with her time. When you take the time to read the pastoral letters by Paul to Timothy and Titus, one gets the distinct impression from the tone and tenor of the writing that Paul was like a father and a mentor to Timothy and Titus. But this especially rings out in Paul's writing to Timothy, guiding Timothy in his Christian faith with words of encouragement and direction. So let me read again from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from verse 2 all the way to verse 7. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You know, there were two major influences in the life of Timothy that led him to the faith of Jesus Christ. Without question, Paul the Apostle, as he mentioned to Timothy by the laying on of hands, was an example, not only an example in word and deed, but also by teaching and knowledge. And because of that fact, and because he saw within Timothy a calling from God, he laid his hands on him. Timothy could see firsthand what it was like to follow Christ, to sacrifice, and to live a life for Jesus. In every sense of the word, Paul was an ambassador for Christ wherever he traveled and lived. So again, Paul was instrumental and most likely foundational to Timothy's faith and his calling to be a pastor and preacher of the gospel. But just as important as Paul the Apostle was to the formation of Timothy in his faith, we read that Timothy's family, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, laid the foundation for that faith to bud, to blossom, and to grow. What an amazing testimony that mothers impart to their children when they learn to model and practice what we call Proverbs chapter 31. Becoming a woman who fears the Lord, a woman that is industrious and productive. You know, I doubt Timothy would have become a leader in the early church had it not been for his mother and his grandmother's influence. When you think about it, to be a mother means practicing the following. It means having the art of patience, the patience of Job. It means learning to sacrifice time, energy, and even sleep for the well-being and betterment of their children and their family's needs. It means learning to share wisdom from life's experiences, both the good and the bad. It means demonstrating courage and strength when needed. It means being able to practice the art and skill of forgiving and being forgiven. And it means modeling love, God's love, for faith and family. Now, I understand not everyone has had stellar mothers in their lives. And maybe for those listening in this audience, maybe some of your memories are painful. Maybe they are sad. Maybe you're filled with bitterness and remorse. And if we acknowledge what we see in contemporary society, we know that there are horror stories of bad parenting, whether from moms or fathers. I have another joke here. I saw a cartoon, and in this cartoon, you had an exhausted mother sprawled out on a chair. And the caption below read the following: stripped of her youth, her energy, and her money, she quietly reflected on the joys of children. You know, being a mother can be hard without question, but it also can be very rewarding. And some would go so far as to say probably the most rewarding thing in life besides coming to faith in Christ. Mothers, grandmothers, and other ladies, when you are gone from this earth, how or what do you want to be remembered for by your family, your friends, your associates, your loved ones? Do you want to be known as a great cook? Do you want to be known as a trusted confidant that others can confide in? Do you want to be known as an approachable friend? Do you want to be known as an affable listener? Ah, yes, a mother's faith. You know, good parents and godly mothers teach their children about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those choices that I just mentioned that mothers can be remembered by are excellent choices. It's fantastic if you have great cooking skills. It's wonderful if others can trust you and be their confidant. It's marvelous to be known as a good friend and supporter. And people will give you the accolades when they realize that you are a good listener. Those are wonderful qualities to have. And as excellent as those qualities are, and choices, if that is your choice, There probably is no higher tribute or honor given to a mother or a mother-like person than to say of her, "She was the one who brought me to church and influenced me more than any other person in the formation of my faith and my loyalty to the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and others can do great things for their families, loved ones, and children, but maybe, just maybe, the most important thing is to raise them in the faith. Now think about it this way. What if Lois did not take the time, the energy, and the wherewithal to spend and raise her daughter Eunice in the Lord Jesus Christ? And what if Eunice did not sacrifice time and energy and take the effort to raise her son Timothy in the faith as well? I know those are hypotheticals and what ifs, but I think I can say with assurance that the early church would have been robbed of its earliest and best pastors and leaders, that being Timothy. If Paul the Apostle opened the door for Timothy for a larger, wider vision of the kingdom of God, it is only because he was prepared for that by Timothy's mother and his grandmother. So what can a mother do? Many worthwhile things in a lifetime. Bringing up a child in the faith is eternal. You see, it is where children, your children and grandchildren, learn to be strong. It's where they learn to be moral and righteous. It's where the fruit of the Holy Spirit leads to joy and peace within and without. That's what a mother's faith can mean. It means good parents and a godly mother helps form the character of their children. So not only do good parents and a godly mother and her faith teach others about Christ, but they also help instill within them their character and their morals. When you think about it, I think sometimes we get a little confused as to who is responsible for instilling those values in children or grandchildren. It's not the public school. And believe it or not, this might sound contradictory, but I want you to listen. It's not even the church. The church and public schools, or schools in general, whether private, they are the reinforcements of what is taught at home. Or what should be. Maybe that's the qualifier, what should be. Parents should not abdicate their responsibility in the upbringing and the teaching and the values and morals to their children. Basic values such as kindness are taught first and foremost at home. Home is where children and families learn virtue or vice. They learn how to handle problems or succumb to those problems. And they learn also the skill set that is needed and necessary to interact and to relate to others. Now, if moms and dads give mixed signals of praising the Lord on Sunday morning and then bad-mouthing the church Monday through Friday, that doesn't fly. You see, good parents and a godly mother also share in the crisis of their children. Now, I'm not only talking primarily about trauma, because any good parent will want to be there for their children when they experience trauma of any kind. But I'm talking about the crisis of identity and development, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I think so many children today are confused because their parents are confused by the insanity that is coming out of our society. Folks, if you've got children or grandchildren, you need to pay attention to what their public school is instilling in their minds and in their hearts. You need to listen and see what they're being taught and hear the conversations. Because often many schools will go against the grain and will do everything and anything to subvert what the family is teaching and what the church is teaching. So there's confusion in our society on boundaries, on sexual roles and sexual identity. So We must be there for our children to help them overcome destructive ideas and behaviors, whether they see and learn that in school, from their friends, or what they watch on television or the internet. My goodness gracious, I don't know how many millions and millions of Americans, young and old alike, get their news and their information by these so-called influencers on TikTok. I know I'm preaching to the choir to some of you. If I could ban TikTok and those social media platforms, I would do it yesterday. Parents and grandparents must be mindful of what their children and grandchildren are watching on the social media platforms. Just plain and simple. I'd like to read to you a poem written by Dorothy Law Nolte. And she titled this poem, Children Learn What They Live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And lastly, if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Mothers are the first line of defense for their children and their families. Christ knows that, and he sees that in your life and in your home. Let me read again once more. Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Amen.